All right, so I hit record. We're all unchained. If I did it wrong, it's my fault. All right, Philippians chapter 2, and let's read verses 14 and 15. This has been our jumping verse all through the study here because we want to be shining lights. Here we go, starting in verse 14. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. All right, gut check. How many of us did all things today without murmuring and disputing? Don't raise your hands. Amen. All right. Now, verse 15, the reason why we should do that is verse 15. Read it with me. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. That's God's desire and design for us, to shine. If we murmur and complain, folks don't want to listen. Amen. But if we shine as God would have us to, being blameless and harmless, as he said there, the sons of God, make sure we're godlike, without rebuke, nobody can rebuke us, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, we're right in the middle, we will shine as lights. Amen. There is a process. It's tough, but there's a process. All right. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 10. Let's read that one. That's what we're talking about. Standing against moving money. And verse number 10, let's read that one together. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Amen. Father, help us tonight as we look at this moving money, what it can do to us if we let it. God, I'm so thankful that we don't have to let it, and we can allow you to work in our lives, Lord. Work tonight through us, Lord, in us. We may leave here differently than when we came in, more knowledgeable of the Word of God, and then more applying that which we know. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So talking about standing against moving money, we're talking about several things here. And seven things are going to be that we need to stand for in our Christian culture and against in this crooked culture. Now, by the way, there's a lot of things that we really need to stand against in this crooked culture, amen? Amen. But these seven here really impact our minds. And when they impact our minds, they can do some devastating damage to our lives. What are those seven? We talked about marriage, amen? We don't have the right marriages. Society looks and says, there's your Christian, amen? We talked about morality in magazines, how the society makes these magazines and they want to put that into our minds and that morality to kind of dumb us down, so to speak. And then we talked about money, and that's what we're talking about now. And then movies and media, how they have an agenda. Movies and media want you to have their agenda. Music, amen. There's another thing, amen. The society will get you through music, amen. And I tell you, it works. It works. If you got a flesh, how many of y'all got a flesh? Mm-hmm. Music will work on you. You may not respond to country, but you may respond to rock. You don't respond to that. It may be acid rock. You don't respond to that. It may be hip hop. You don't respond to that. They may give you rhythm and blues. If you don't respond to that, there may be some jazz, but music has your number. All of us respond to music. Even King Saul, when the demon was on him, David played the music, and guess what? It soothed him. And so the music really does damage if it's done in a bad way. And so those seven things turned our Christian culture upside down when there was a time that it was just the opposite. Amen. Having looked at modern marriages and Mad Morality magazines already, we moved on to moving money. Amen. Moving money. By the way, I said this. Another area we need to shine as lights in the world is the area of moving money. Money can be moving because we need it to survive, and it can make us move from that which we know is right. Amen. Amen. It can. It can. Yeah. Now think about it. Now, this is just a rhetorical question. What is your price? What is your price? What amount of money will cause you to do what you know you shouldn't do?
Amen.
What is your price? They say everybody has a price. Mm-hmm. What is your price? Now, I trust that our price is not for sale. Amen. They say everybody has their price. It's something, there's a certain figure of money or this certain thing that you will move for. Mm-hmm. Amen. So ask yourself, what is it that will make me move? because everybody's got something that will move them. Maybe it's not money, but maybe it's something else. Amen. All right. And so the word moving means going in a specific direction. It means to change positions. It means on the go. It means to change or to cause to change from one state of mind or opinion about something. Amen. And so you and I need to stand against moving money and shine as lights in the world. Why? Because money that's moving oftentimes wants to move you out of the will of God. Mm-hmm. It's just the way it is. By the way, if the devil can get you out of the will of God, whose will are you in? His. There's only two wills to be in. You say, well, I'm in my own will. Well, you're in the devil's will. Amen. There's God's will and there's the devil. There's only two wills to be in. If the devil can move you out of God's will, he knows that you're in his will and you're like Pinocchio now. Amen. The only thing is your nose may not grow. And so Paul down here in chapter number 6 begins to write to Timothy about several different things that we talked about. And then he leads up to godliness being gain. And we talked about that in verse number 5. Notice what he says down there. He says in chapter 6, verse 5. I'm talking about 6:6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Why did he say that? Because up there in verse number 5, they were teaching. He said, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is what? Godliness. Amen. And we said this. Gain doesn't mean godliness. Amen. But can you be godly in gain? Yes. Abraham was very wealthy. Joseph of Arimathea was very wealthy. Joseph of Egypt was very wealthy. So there's been some godly wealthy people. Amen. Mm-hmm. And so we began looking at some things here because he comes down there, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing in this world, so we can carry nothing out. He says, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into what? Temptation and a snare. By the way, is temptation sin?
Not always.
No, temptation is not sin. When does it become sin?
When
I yield to temptation. Are we going to be tempted? We're going to be tempted. Yeah. But it's when I yield to temptation, that's when it becomes sin. Was Jesus tempted? Yes. Did he sin? No. And that's the example we should follow. He says, they that will be rich will fall into temptation and a snare to many foolish, hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's a bad state to be in. Then we began talking about verse number 10. The love factor to consider was one of the first things. He says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Amen. There's always a starting point. There may be an uncontrollable desire for wealth, and we have to check ourselves. Do I have an uncontrollable desire for wealth or possessions or things? If I have an uncontrollable desire for that, I better watch out because I could be in danger. So the love factor to consider. The love of money is the root of all evil. But then we looked at the lust factor. It says, which while some coveted after. And we illustrated that with Daniel. Coveted means to stretch out after, to go after. And what did I say? To go after, what do you have to do? You have to move from where you're at, hence moving money, amen. You got to go to where it's at to move, amen. And so he says, which while some coveted after. That's the lust factor, amen. There may be an uncontrollable distraction and domination. It may control what you do and where you go. But then not just the love factor to consider and the lust factor, but then we got this third one here that we want to pick up with. The leading factor to consider. The leading factor to consider. We talk about, Pastor, they have erred from the faith. The word erred there means to be seduced or led astray. Brother Neil is a hunter. Brother Neil, if you're going to hunt something, what do you normally have to do besides shoot them?
You have to search. Go find them.
You got to go find them, amen. You want to try to lure them out or either go where they're at. Amen. By the way, the devil has no problem doing both. He will go where you're at, but he will also try to lure you out. Amen. And by the way, brother, if they're in one of those tight places where you can't get a good shot, what do you have to do to get them out?
Well, I just
do
small games, so I just throw a rock.
Throw a rock, amen. Amen. And by the way, if you're hunting deer, you know what the greatest skill is? Patience. You gotta wait. The devil has no problem waiting for you. If he doesn't get you at first, guess what he'll say? I'll get you next time. What did the Bible say about Jesus? He departed for what? A season. What do we know about seasons? They come around, amen? And so the devil says, I didn't get you this time, Miss Duffy. I get you next time. I didn't get you this time, Mr. Duffy. Get you next time. I didn't get you this time, Miss Dawson. Get you next time. G2, got your number. Terrell, I know where you live. Hey! He said, if I can't get you the first time, I will try to get you again. Amen? And that's why he says they have erred from the faith. The word err means to be seduced or led astray. In other words, there may be an uncontrolled direction for wealth. You may go in an uncontrolled direction that you didn't plan to go in. One of the greatest tools in the household sometimes is a mouse trap. Why? You just sit that bad boy right there, put a little bit of peanut butter or cheese on that, and you leave it alone. Guess what happens eventually? Here comes old mouse. The mouse comes in there and all of a sudden, and guess what you got the next day? You got old mouse. And you set the same trap with the same peanut butter, with the same piece of cheese, and put it right back out there for the second mouse. And guess what happens? And you set that same piece out there and put it right back out there again until it stops working. And guess what? When it stops working, what do you do? You get you a little bit more cheese. But guess what happened there? It's going to work. What am I saying here? The devil is good at leading us astray, and there may be an uncontrolled direction for wealth. This also applies to uncontrolled desires in general. Whatever you have an uncontrolled desire for, Satan can capitalize on you. Why? It's uncontrolled. Think about drug addicts and alcoholics and people that have things like that have fixes that they have that they need. They have that thing there, and they err from what they know is right. By the way, erring from the faith leads us out of what? Because if this is the will of God, and if I'm erring from the faith, if I'm being led astray, I'm being seduced away by something. Something's going to catch my eye. Something's going to catch my eye. By the way, can you, God oftentimes uses things to get your attention. What did he use for Moses back in the back of the desert?
Burning bush.
What does the Bible say? The Bible says that Moses looked because he wanted to see why this bush burned but didn't burn up. It was on fire, it didn't burn up. He's like, well, let me. And God said, now that I got your attention. The devil works much the same way. The devil says, now that I got your attention. Think about some of the ads that are out there. You can't get away from seeing nudity in ads. Think of some of the beer commercials out there. You can't get away from them. And they say, now that I got your attention, what's the whole goal? Get your attention. I want to lead you astray. If I can get your attention, they say immorality sells. If I can get your attention, I may get you to become a consumer. Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
I'm just saying. And so you may begin to do things that you thought you would never do. It said they have erred from the faith. I could do things like this for money. I may be forsaking family time or prayer time or church time or Bible time or any kind of time that's spiritual, because the devil knows if you get spiritual time in, guess what? You're going to be spiritually strong. But if you don't get spiritual time in, he says, look, you'll be seduced. You'll be led astray. Amen. By the way, no mouse trap, no mouse. And he'll keep eating your stuff. Amen. I remember one time when I was a kid, I caught a mouse and I cornered him on the stairs. And I got a trash can and put him in the trash can. Do you know that bad boy tried to jump out of the trash can? Scared me to death. I mean, and he had some height on him to be so small. I mean, he was getting halfway up out the can. I thought, if I don't get rid of him soon, he gonna jump out here and bite me. Now you say mice don't bite. I wasn't taking a chance, amen. And I was like, man, where's the mouse trap when you need one? I just throw it in there and clap and trap this guy, amen. And so that's what happens. Go over to James with me, 1:14, because this is how the devil works. James 1:14. Well, it's about the leading factor to consider. They've erred from the faith. James chapter number 1. And of course, very familiar area of scripture for most of us. And James over here, dealing with how this thing works out. Amen. James chapter 1. Pastor White, read verse number 14 for me. James 1:14.
But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed.
Every man is drawn away of whose lust?
His own.
What are we talking about? They that will be rich fall into temptation and the snare and many foolish and hurtful lusts. They that will be rich, the Bible says. And the Bible says this as well. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. Amen. And Brother Neil, read verse number 15 for me.
Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death.
Sin bringeth forth death. Now, by the way, is he talking about churched people here or unchurched people here? He's talking about, these are Christian folk. This is to Timothy to instruct the churches. So it's not like he's talking to the heathen folk. He's talking to God's people. He's talking to people G2's age, people Terrell's age, people's cat's age, people my age. He's talking about people that have been around, that's been seasoned veterans that should know better. And the Bible says down there, when lust hath conceived or pretty much given birth, you know, the thing is there. It bringeth forth sin. You think about a lady. When the man and lady come together, the seed then comes together and it is born. That's conception. But then it says it's going to bring forth sin. The baby's going to pop out soon and the baby's going to be sin. And it says, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth what?
Death.
What does Romans 6:23 say? For the wages of sin is what?
Death.
That is the devil's design when it comes to wealth. That's why it's moving money. He knows if I can get you out of the will of God, I can bring an untimely death on you. I know if I can just pull you away from that which you know is right, I can lead you astray. If I can just get you to follow my lead. By the way, he tempted Jesus with some very good things. Bread. Was Jesus hungry? Yes, he was. Pride. Jump down from this pinnacle. Prove to yourself that you're God. Most of us would give in. Yeah, let me prove to you that I am God. Jesus said, I don't have to prove anything to you. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. They're already mine. Can't give me something that's not mine. But it wasn't his right then because that wasn't the time that he come for. And the devil knew that. The devil said, let me trick you a little bit. I know it's going to be yours down there, but wouldn't you like to have it right now?
Amen.
Hey, I talked to y'all last week about me and Mr. Dawson. That's what the devil did to us. Wouldn't you like to have all this furniture right now, even though you're not in the E7? We said, yeah, we would. He said, well, just come on over here. I got plastic cards for you. We thought, wow, look at that. It'll get you anything you want. Wow, look at that. And we got suckered in. And before you know it, we had a house full of furniture and a bank full of debt and couldn't pay it off. And we looked crazy. The leading factor to consider, they've erred from the faith. And notice that last verse down there. Do not what? Err, my beloved brethren. What did 1 Timothy say? They have erred from the faith. What does James say? Do not err, my beloved. Why? He said, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be drawn away of what you want, your own lust. You're going to be enticed. He says, that lust or that covetousness is going to get conception, it's going to bring forth sin, and sin is going to bring forth death. You don't want that. He says, so do not err, my beloved. Let's go back to 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 10. He says, you don't want that, not at all. So we see the love factor to consider. He says, the love of money is the root of all evil. There may be uncontrolled desire for wealth. We see the lust factor to consider, which while some coveted after, there may be an uncontrollable distraction and domination there. The leading factor to consider. They've erred from the faith. They've been seduced, led astray. There may be an uncontrolled direction for wealth. But then notice this. The lancing factor to consider. Lance means to pierce, prick, or cut open with a sharp instrument. Notice what it says down in the rest of that verse, number 10. It says, they have erred from the faith and what? Pierce themselves through with many sorrows. What happens when people get an earring? What are they actually doing?
Piercing themselves.
What does that piercing involve?
Pain.
Puts a hole, doesn't it? Does it mean that pain? Does it go partially through the skin or does it go all the way through the skin?
All the way.
Oh, that's what pierce means. It means to go all the way through. And the Bible says they have pierced themselves through. pierced themselves through. I went down to St. Vincent and the Grenadines down there, and the guy that I was staying with had a friend, and he had some barracuda. And man, good barracuda. And I thought he went fishing for it. He went, what you call it, spearing for it. He had a spear, and he had a piece of string tied on the end, long piece of string. And what he did was, he was underwater snorkeling. He got close enough to the fish, the school of them, and that thing was sharp, and he threw it, and it went right through the fish. And because it had the long string on him, guess what? The end of that spear couldn't come back out of the fish, so guess what he did? Just reeled the fish in. He did it all underwater. And I thought, my soul. Now, what's the advantage of fishing that way as opposed to fishing my way with a hook?
You know what you're getting.
You know what you're getting, that's true. What else is the advantage of fishing that way as opposed to fishing with a hook?
You're waiting.
You are waiting. You're going to wait on both of them, though.
Refining your skills.
You are refining your skills, but there's a
you
big...
You can see. You can see.
You can see. You can see. There's something else. The hook can come off. I had many a fish by the lip right here, and guess what? When they got up close to the boat, tore right out and fell right back in there. Guess what happens when you pierce? He ain't getting off. That whole spear went right through the fish, comes out the other side, it goes down like that, and you got this string, you just pull him back in. And guess what? When it goes through him, of course you got that hook. And guess what? That's not coming back through the fish. The advantages of fishing that way and piercing means that you're going to get a fish. And he's not getting off. And I said, well, now, barracuda was good. Anybody ever had barracuda? Mm-hmm. Glory to God. I saw them on TV. They look ugly. Mm-hmm. Got big teeth. But man, did it taste good. And he went out with a spear underwater and chucked that spear and got him a barracuda. And what did he do? He pierced through the barracuda. What does the Bible say here? It says, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so the lancing factor to consider, there is a factor to consider. They pierced themselves through. There may be uncontrollable damage. By the way, the fish is not getting off unless the fisherman dies. That's the only way he's getting off. If the fisherman happens to die, and he's still got to do something with this thing between them. Amen. We went fishing one time, and Faithy Poo left her pole there, and we were fishing for catfish, and we catch this big catfish that day. We looked over there at Faith pole was gone, slipped, slap into it, and the fish took it in there. And I knew it had to be a big fish, because I was over there at first with my pole, and her pole was over there, and I ran over there, my pole was sliding in the water. I grabbed my pole and reeled that thing in, had a big old catfish on it, and then we got Faith, where your pole at? I left it over there. Went back, no pole. And we know we didn't take it. Guess what? Some catfish got that thing and went there. Faith said, Daddy, you think he's still swimming around with that? I know, son. That's going to come off eventually. Amen. It's not there anymore. When you pierce it, guess what? It's still there. It's still there. Pierce means to penetrate entirely or all the way. You are totally hooked. Themselves means this is a personal choice to yourself. Through means to penetrate entirely. Many sorrows means much grief, much dejection, and the process of sowing and reaping. Go over to Proverbs 15:27 with me real quick. Proverbs 15:27. So this moving money then has an agenda. And the agenda at the end is our demise. Whether it's going to be a financial demise or a physical demise, whatever it is, a debt demise, it's going to get us in trouble sooner or later if it controls us. Who should control the money? We should control the money. The money shouldn't control us. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15, notice verse 27. He that is greedy of gain, what? Troubleth his own house. The word greedy there means to be covetous or given to covetousness. Gain means a profit or filthy lucre. Then it says troubleth means to disturb or afflict. Own house. Guess what own house means?
Your own house.
Your own house, yes. But there's a definition to your own house. What does that mean? Is it really going to hurt the house?
Oh, the people.
Family. That means family.
People.
So it's going to hurt the household or the family or those in it. So he says, if you've got this problem, if you're greedy of gain, you're going to trouble your family. Hey, my wife and I, because of the debt we were in, hey, we had to eat beans and rice for a long time. We couldn't go to the restaurants. We couldn't eat, couldn't go out. Why? We was in debt. How many people do you know that it's so strapped in debt because they let the lust get to them what they wanted that they can't do what they want to do? Folks, it's common. Happens all the time to God's people. One of the most common things I hear from people when it comes to tithing, I can't tithe because I don't have enough money. Then that means God's a liar. Is that right? If you say you can't tithe because you don't have money. Because God said, I gave you enough money. So obviously the money that I gave you, you're not doing something right with it. Amen. Again, they that will be rich, he said. Uncontrolled direction and uncontrolled damage pierce themselves through with many trials. Pastor, what's the logical factor to consider? I'm glad you asked. Verse number 11. Let's go back to Ephesians. 1 Timothy chapter 6. The love factor to consider. The love of money is the root of all evil. There may be uncontrollable desire for wealth. The lust factor to consider. Maybe uncontrollable distraction and domination. The leading factor to consider, they have erred from the faith. There may be an uncontrolled direction for wealth. It may take you where you don't want to go. Then the lancing factor to consider, amen, they pierce themselves through many sorrows. But then the logical factor to consider is verse number 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Timothy said, now, Paul told Timothy, now Timothy, now if you're going to be preaching, you've got to make sure you get away from it. Hey, us as parents, we can't talk to our children about not getting in debt if we got a whole bunch of debt. If we are frivolous in our spending and we don't monitor what we spend and what we spend money on, we can't tell our children a thing. Why? He said, well, you didn't do it. You didn't do it. He says, but thou, man of God, flee these things and do what? Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, fight the good fight of faith. So the logical factor to consider, there is an uncomparable defense. Amen. He says, put the good in front of you and leave the bad behind you, basically. Put that junk behind you, your covetousness, your lust, put it all behind you and put in front of you godliness and the rest of those things. Amen. So it would be like this. Amen. Come here, Joshua and Terrell. G2 and Terrell. They are godliness. What are you listening to here? Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. So they are all of those things. Y'all go that way. All right, there we go. So they are faith. Y'all go that way. And so I'm supposed to follow after faith, righteousness, godliness, love, patience, and meekness. And if I'm following them, what am I not following?
You're not following the devil. You're
I'm not following the lust that I had. Because
right.
He says, but thou, O man of God, he said, flee these things. Get away from those things. He said, hey, but go after something else. I'm not saying follow them, amen. But I'm just saying they're representing what the Bible says here. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. I'm going after these things because I'm fleeing away from those things that caused me to get in debt. Amen. Thank you, young man. I appreciate that. And so the logical factor to consider, amen, there is an uncomparable defense. Put the things of God in front. Leave the things of the devil behind. Paul is telling Timothy to flee from the destructive power of desiring riches and gives him several solutions. Amen. They are to flee, follow, and then fight. Flee, it's unpopular to flee. We must flee from the temptation of money. Amen. Is it? I mean, you think about it. If you have money, what can you do? You can do pretty much anything, can't you? If you have money, where can you go? You can go pretty much anything. I mean, money can actually buy you some wicked friends. It can buy you some friends that are deceitful. It can buy you some friends that look righteous. Money can do a lot of things. But Paul says, don't worry about it. What do you say? Godliness with what?
Contentment.
Contentment is great gain. Don't worry about that. You need to worry about being godly. Amen. And so it's to flee. Amen. What did Joseph do when he came down to Potiphar's wife? He fled. And what did he do? He left his garments out. Bible says this way, Genesis 39:12, she called him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. So flee, then follow. Follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith. Amen. Keep good company physically, mentally. Keep good company. The Bible still says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things together. What did he say? He said, follow righteousness. So follow these things here. These things are good. Amen. By the way, then he says in fight, verse number 12, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Now, I can't fight the good fight of faith there if I'm doing verse number 10. What does it say I'm doing with the faith there in verse number 10? Verse number 10.
Loving money,
yes, but what am I doing with the faith there in verse number 10? I'm erring from the faith. So I can't say that I'm fighting the good fight of faith in verse number 12 if I'm erring from the faith in verse number 10. So he says the key to this is making sure you're following righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience. I mean, he said, follow the things of God and you won't err from the faith. What can I say systematically if I'm erring from the faith? I'm not following these things. Amen. And so he says, money will move you, and you've got to keep that in check. Again, that's one of those things that we have to really look at when it comes to shining in this world, because money will cause us to move. It's a fact of life. It's a fact. We need it to survive. And money will do some strange things. It'll lure us away. Read that verse again. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness and godliness and faith and love and patience and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. He says, you know, make sure you're doing what you know you ought to do, Timothy, because if you're not doing it, you can't teach them, and so I want you to teach them, but let me warn you first, don't you get caught up in it. Don't you get caught up in it, Timothy. It's easy to do. Pastor Wise and I know of a good young man that got caught up with being bought by money. My pastor, Pastor Nelson, almost got bought by money. Brother Neil, there was a gal that told my pastor, I'll give you this money, this millions of dollars to buy this property for the church, if you make who I say the next pastor of that church, the next pastor. Seriously. And she said it to somebody else in the church. And guess what? They fell for it. The pastor didn't fall for it, but this other individual did fall for it. And we're talking about good Christian people. We're not talking about the unchurched. So don't say it can't happen to you, because it may not be money, but it may be something else that'll cause you to move. And you gotta say, I'm not gonna fall for that. I'm not going to let anything move me away from the will of God. I'm going to stick with what I know is right. I'm going to follow righteousness, godliness, and faith, and the other things that God would have me to follow, because it is so easy to happen. Again, if I hadn't heard it, seen it with my own eyes, I probably wouldn't have believed it, that it could happen to a leading Christian. But it can happen. It can happen. We can get bought. And we can get moved away by moving money. Why? The devil is good at what he does. Our defense, the Word of God. Don't get moved away from that which you know is right to do. Don't get moved, because the devil is out to move you. And we are the ones that need to shine in this wicked world. He wants us to shine, but the devil wants us not to shine. Amen? Let's make sure that we look to God and say, God, help me to stand against this moving money and to stand for that which is right, because it can happen. Amen. Father, thank you so much for loving us. Thank you for Timothy's encouragement that Paul is giving him. And thank you that it was given for the instruction to the church. And God, help us to make sure that we're loving you, Lord, with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. Lord, we're not giving in to moving money. Any of us can fall prey to it. Any of us can be guilty of it, Lord. Maybe it's not money, but maybe it's something else that moves us away from the will of God. It can be any desire that we have. James is clear. Lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin can bring forth death. But he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Help us not to err from the faith, Lord. But help us to stand doing that which you've called us to do. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for meeting our need. Lord, help us to be so careful and cautious of moving money, of what it can do, and how damaging it can be in our lives. And Lord, progress in our lives that we may become spiritually more aware and alert of what Satan tries to do. As subtly as he tries to do it, help us to just stand for what we know is right, that we may shine as lights in this world. Help us to understand godliness with contentment is great gain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Don't give in to moving money or you may be like the barracuda. Pastor White's got our announcements in, man. You don't want to be like the barracuda. He tastes good, though.
It tastes good.
It tastes real good.
All right. Just a couple of things we do want to make you aware of that are coming up. To our young people that are here tonight, we're going to meet Friday as we go to Oakville Baptist Church.